I want you to focus on whatever it is that you are doing, whatever it is that you are learning. Hallelujah. Okay. Academic, yes, you need your academic knowledge, and so be a studious person. Read your books. Okay. What did I say? Yes, read your books. Don't say God will take care of you. Are we together? Read your books. And then also the things that you are interested in as per learning of skill and acquiring certain skills. I want you to also focus on that very well. Okay? Hallelujah. I think I've told you before that play only exists from age 1 to maybe 10, 11. And that's what you call childhood. But from 12, life has become serious. Are we together? Yeah, life has become serious. You might not know, and people might extend childhood. You know, at times people extend childhood. There are various societies that if you can see a 25-year-old man and people will be giving him excuses, and you know these are young boys, they don't know what they are doing. You know. So, but it's a lie. You know, you see a full-grown man that can impregnate. You know. And some of you back in the day, by now you'll already be married. You know, Chisholm, by now, back in the day, so what are you doing in this? Why are you clapping? I mean, back in the day, they'll have said the boy go and Chisholm could have had like 2 children by now. I'm serious. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Mary was a teenager. Mary was not 28. You get, right? So, play has, if you extend play too much, you'll be wasting time. You'll be wasting time because you need to start acquiring experience and skills. So you need to start learning. So that by the time you are, 10 years experience is 10 years experience. Are we together? Meaning if you focus on something for like 5 years or 6 years, you'll be good at it. And irrespective of when you start, your 6 years will start counting. So if you start at 13, your 6 years will be 19. Do you get my point? If you start 25, your 6 years will be 31. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So nobody just blows immediately. Everybody is a product of process. Hallelujah. Are we together? Everybody is a product of process. So you need to apply, you need to start your process as early as possible. And if you say I'm too old to start the process, well, that's on you, you know. Because if you don't start it now, you will eventually have to start it. Amen. And if they say go to school now, and say I'm not going to school, eventually you will have to. So you can either do it now or do it later. You get. And it's a good thing to be very, very, because when you're young, you have an entitlement. You grew up with an entitlement of love, okay, and appreciation. So the truth of life is that thing is an entitlement. You deserve to be loved. All those things. Those things are their entitlement. Meaning that it's not compulsory. After a while, it can be withdrawn from you. Hallelujah. Are we together? As you grow older, the love people show you will be dependent on the value that you have. Do you understand? You know? You get. When everybody's a child, they are cute. You know, oh, such a cute child, you know. In fact, as a child, you're doing rubbish. It will be increasing the cuteness, you know. But after a while, you know, if you're a useless person, meaning you have no value, it's your own parents that will pursue you from the house. I say, get out of here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? And you don't deserve anybody's love and admiration. And, you know, people give you, in church, you know, people will love you in church and all that. But even that love, say, it has limits. Are we together? Please let me open it. Even that love, say, has limits. You know, for instance, brotherly love has limits. You know, a sister can do brotherly love. But marital love is a different level. Do you understand what I'm saying? They don't pity people. They don't say, you know, he's a useless guy, but he's a good Christian. You know, let me just marry him. You know, that's not how they... Are we together? Eh? Amen. I'm telling you now so that you can start ordering your life now. Because it's now that you order your life. You get value. If you're a woman and you have value, is worldly men you will attract. Amen. There are two ways to attract worldly men. It can be very fine. But you see, that one is lottery. You understand? Like, it's random. It's God that has that one in his hand. You know? You can't control that. But the one that you can control is that you be valuable. You get? And if you're a valuable person, you attract value, which is, I'll talk about, you know, today we're finishing this in our holiness. So if you're a valuable person, you attract valuable guys. You get? If you're a valuable man, well, you might not attract valuable women because women are gold diggers. So, but you should attract all kinds of women. Praise God. Well, let me correct that. Not all women are gold diggers, but women have good eye. Women like good thing. You see, Bonner Boy now, you know, I don't know how many of you heard, you know, the story. One girl said that, oh, he said, okay, I can buy you Lamborghini. And she agreed to have sex with him. Just that I was lying. So I think after he had sex with her, he didn't give her the Lamborghini. You know, she was not sad. Yeah. So you need that. Instead of all this, love me, love me, love me. You know, this emotional, nobody is loving me. The reason why nobody is loving you is that you're not a valuable person. Are we together? At a point in time, say, even your children, some of you, why are you angry with your parents? Is it not lack of money? Amen. 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 Are we together? Some of you have to use spiritual maturity to deal with your parents. Why? Value. Are we together? Some of you know that your dad carried your school fees money to gamble. Amen. So, when you are a valuable person, you will feel good about yourself because you will achieve. Hallelujah. You will have your achievements. At whatever level, you might be big. What I mean by big, you might be in the news, you might not be in the news, but you'll be somebody that achieves. You do things, you know. And then you will also have the admiration of all the people around you will like you. You get. So instead of being entitled, don't be entitled to people's love. Okay, never be entitled in anything in life. Even the things that they said they will give you, don't be entitled. You get? For instance, it is your right that your parents send you to school. But even if they send you to school, don't feel entitled to school fees money. Hallelujah. Do you understand my point? All right? Never be entitled about anything in life. So add value to yourself and you'll be a valuable person. You yourself, you will like yourself. You know, you will like yourself. You'll be like, wow, I have value. And people will like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please, what I'm saying is very important. It's so important that I can pause my teaching to say it first. You know, so go through that process of acquiring knowledge. You get? Don't spiritualize life. See, bro, don't spiritualize life. Don't over-spiritualize life. In a sense, you know, I know you said you want to marry correct woman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You get? If you become a pastor now, you start preaching and fire. You know, women will like you. You get? If you have prayer points in church, women will not like you. Meaning, whenever you come to church, let's pray for this brother. You know, let's pray for him. That God will help him. You know, women will not like you. Yeah, and it will affect you. Is it you can spiritualize it all you want, it will affect you. Yet, as I when maybe when the girl you like is now marrying someone else, you're not gonna start sending out text message that, you know, I just want you to know that even though we couldn't be together, I'm still happy for you. You understand? Spiritual brother send this kind of message. Don't think that people in church, live in church. I'm telling you a life story. I'm not telling you something that is I heard from somewhere else. Life story. You know, you start saying it's like, you know, there's one brother that I went to go and meet one girl and say, you know, even though we couldn't be together, you know, I just want you to know that I'm happy for you, you know. You know, I won't make that mistake next time. You know, this kind of story. Hey, you understand? Are we together? Yeah. You need to be someone that is serious. If you come and say there's a proposal on ground, it will be taken seriously. You understand? Huh? Not like what's that brother's name that went to go and toast T.Y.? What's his name again? Boo, know him now. I didn't ask if you don't know him. You don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. It was in this church now, teenager like us. He has left. Went to go and see he likes to. I think he told her something. You know. Hallelujah. You know. Anyway, I not be like I'm yabbing a former church member. So well, good. So you need to be someone that is valuable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Please take what I'm saying seriously. Take what I'm saying seriously. You get it. Don't worry about now. You see, now don't and that's why I tell you guys, see, don't as you grow older, there'll be something that as everyone grows up, there's something that always happens. It's always trend. Every generation. One trend of posting your old pictures, you know. Maybe me now, I'll post my old Facebook pictures. I'll say, chat, see what the Lord has done, And it's always happened. I know you think right now, your mind right now, you're fresh. I know you think it right now. But you see, that's because that's all you know about yourself. All right, give it 8 years, Then you look at those old pictures, you'll be like, chai. You yab yourself, you yab the people around you. Wow, you mean I used to be like this, So don't worry. Don't worry about how you are now. Maybe you're not feeling yourself. Forget it. Just be add value. You understand? Are we together? Just add value. In fact, you'll be shocked in life. One of the things that will shock you the most in life is you eventually realize that the older you get, the more attractive you become to women. Okay? It will shock you. It's a shocking revelation. That if your older is value older, not that. It's a shocking revelation. Yeah, in fact, if you are not, let me use this as a way to enter into my message. If you are not well grounded, you will cheat on your wife. You understand? Are we together? Every successful man, there's always one girl in his office that is ready. Just say the word. You understand? There's always, it's like that everywhere. In fact, even in church, self. You understand? Are we together? Because churches are gatherings of people of all kinds of background. You get? So, there are girls that their own like is married men. Don't like young boys. All these younger boys are too unserious for them. It's married men. They like, you understand? Are we together? Yeah. So, I want us to, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have. And we ask you, Lord, that as we look into your word, you shall speak to us, you shall bless us, and you shall guide us in the mighty name of Jesus. Speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen. Amen. All right. So, we've been looking at holiness, a holy nation, and today I just want to we've spoken about what it is. We've spoken about the reasons to be holy, and then today we're going to round off. I'm going to talk about the blood of Jesus and what the blood of Jesus means for us. I know I spoke about it last week, but today I'll complete. I just mentioned it, but today I'll explain it properly. So that you can have a proper understanding of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is central to the Christian faith. Without the blood of Jesus, there is no Christianity. There is nothing called Christian. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is nothing called Christian without the blood of Jesus. So you need to understand it, because if you don't understand it, you can that lack of understanding can make you abuse you see, Christianity is all about understanding. Are we together? Understanding is at times what where's Deji? Okay. Understanding at times is the difference between what we call superstition and spirituality. Amen. Amen. You can do the same thing, but one can be done out of superstition, which will not give value. Another one will be done out of spirituality, which will give value. Are we together? So two people can say blood of Jesus, and one will be completely superstitious, and one will be spiritual, because their understandings are different. Do you understand what I mean? Yeah. So, if you have a Nollywood understanding of the blood of Jesus, you know what I mean by Nollywood understanding? You know what you have seen in Nollywood, maybe, I don't know. You know, let me skip now. You know, some people, when it comes to protection, the way they use the Bible, it's the Bible, but the way they use the Bible is that they will maybe put the Bible under their pillow. Hallelujah. Now, why is that person putting the Bible under his pillow? Because of the fact that the person wants to be protected by the Word of God. Or the person wants to gather, the person wants to access protection from the Word. Do we understand? So somebody can put, let me just use it as an example. Someone can put, I am a chosen. Maybe they can put that sticker in their door. Are we together? Now, in one's mind, the person might be thinking and saying that, okay, if a demon wants to enter this house, once the person sees I am chosen, you say, oh, this is a chosen house. Let me not enter the house. Are we together? It's just that most demons that are in houses is the human being that carries the demon into the house. Are we together? Are we together? You know. So, for instance, if you put on your door, I am a chosen. But then you carry anger into your house. Is you have, you know, it's like maybe there's prison or something. But then you're the one that opened the door of the house, and they say, yeah, "Come inside, come inside, come inside." You know. So understanding really helps you to engage the spiritual dimension, because even though, you know, a lot of us like to intellectualize the faith. The faith is a spiritual thing, it's a spooky thing, you know, at its core. It's a, what I mean by that is that it is not of this world. You know, what we are talking about is not earthly. It's not physics we are talking about. Praise God. It's not physics we are talking about. It's not chemistry. We're talking about things that are spiritual. Yet, so at its core, it is fantastic. You know, you're saying fantastic things, you know. To us, it's normal because you're in a religious environment. So you can, you know, it's a normal conversation. He died, he arose on the third day. But, you know, if you carry that thing to Harvard, they will laugh at you because what you are saying is, you know, or you say that a virgin gave birth. Are we together? If you carry that into a professor that studied biology all his life, he will tell you that you are a liar. Not just that you are a liar, you are a stupid person. You know, because, you know, how can egg fertilize without sperm? That's what he will tell you. Are we together? Yeah. So, the faith is still, even though the faith doesn't mean that, what am I saying, the faith? What I'm talking about is Christianity. Christianity is not necessarily incompatible with the intellect, okay? But still, it's spooky. You get it. You have to understand it. So, when we're talking about the blood of Jesus, we're talking about a spiritual thing. And so, for you to be able to maximize the effects of it, you're going to have the proper understanding of it. Praise God. So look at what the blood of Jesus did and its implications, because it has implications for us. And then when I'm done with that, I'll then talk about some practical tips for a holy life. Is that fine? All right, cool. So let us go to the book of Leviticus first. Leviticus 17. Are we, is the, should we wait? I mean, we should use our Bible. So let us turn our Bibles to the book of Leviticus 17. Please, Wally, when a question like that is asked, let's give an answer. So tell me if I should wait or if I should. That's why I asked. Eh? That's not an answer. So let us go to the book of Leviticus 17. Verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Praise God. Let us go back to verse 8. Let's just read verse 1. Let's start from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox, or whatever man of the house of Israel who kills an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or who kills it outside the camp, and does not bring it into the door of the tabernacle of meeting to offer an offering to the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, the guilt of bloodshed shall be imputed to that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. To the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, that they may bring them to the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting to the priests, and offer them as peace offerings to the Lord. You can just go to that, the life of a thing is in the blood, 11. So, Moses here was instructing the children of Israel about sacrifices and sacrificing animals. And he was explaining that when you want to sacrifice, you sacrifice things like an ox, a lamb, a goat, you know. And then he started talking about the modalities, because that's the book of Leviticus. It's about the various modalities of worship in the old covenant. Praise God. And he then explains, and then he's then explaining why they sacrifice animals. The reason is that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. Now, you all know that when man sinned, he brought a judgment of death. Praise God. We all know this now. The Lord looked at man and said, the day that you eat of this fruit, you shall die. That was a judgment. So the wages of sin is death, meaning the payment of sin is death. Amen. Are we together? The payment of sin is what? Is death. And the spiritual realm, what we call the spiritual realm, operates like a justice. It operates like a courtroom. Are we together? Literally like a courtroom. Everybody is there. God is the judge. Jesus is your lawyer. Satan is your prosecutor. And they are discussing things. Yeah. Everything that is happening on earth is the result of those discussions that are happening. Are we together? Your promotion, everything is as a result of those conversations that are happening. So, in the sense that the payment of sin is death, every man is meant to experience death, not just physical death, but that's also a result, because God created man as an immortal being, even immortal in the sense of time. But the death that has been experienced is spiritual death, is being cut off in the true sense of the word. Because God is the source of life. So when God cuts you off, it's like a leaf that's been cut off from a tree. So Jesus Christ says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Okay? Meaning he is the source of life. So when there is that cut off, you then begin to see manifestations of sin that I was talking about earlier. You begin to see thoughts, actions, emotions. When those things combine, you then begin to see ideologies. Praise God. Are we together? Ideologies. You see, sin is not necessarily... sin is about living a life that is separate from God. Okay? It's when the grandfather, as per men, you know, it's Adam that sinned, but the person that really, really entered into sin proper was Cain. Okay? But it's Adam that brought sin into the world. But the person that finished work was Cain. And Cain was not a poor person. Cain was not a failure in life. Are we together? Are we together? Cain was a builder of cities. Cain was like a major civilization figure. You know, he went, he established a city, and then men started experimenting outside of God. They created fashion, music. In fact, there's even a scripture, I don't know if you can find it. There was a man that was the first person to marry two wives. It was a huge deal because, you know, when God created Adam, the pattern from the beginning was one man, one wife. So even though, even Cain himself had only one wife, okay? But then as men explored sin, like, okay, we are no more with God. So let's now explore the boundaries of what we can do. One man now grew the liver to take another wife. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, taking multiple wives is sin. The reason why it's sin is that the ideology behind multiple wives is violence. I don't know if I can explain it. It's like for anybody to take, that's why for anybody to take multiple wives, the thinking behind it is that I'm taking this thing because I'm powerful. So I'm going to, I see girl I like, I take you. I see another girl I like, I take you. That's really the driving force behind polygamy. Praise God. Praise God. I see girl I like, I take you. I already have a woman in the house, so I don't care about you anymore. But I've seen you, I like you, I take you. So it's about taking so that you can be powerful, so that you can be great. Amen. I mean, that's a philosophical thing. But men began to explore, and that itself is the experience of death. So the lives will begin to become wicked. Praise God. Strong people will oppress weak people. Many things will happen. Things like Nigeria will happen. You know, when Nigeria is sin, it's sin. Nigeria's problem is not intelligence. Nigeria's problem is sin. All together, your leaders are sinful. Amen. So, and that's why, you see, this country cannot change with English. Amen. All together, it's not English that's going to change this country. Stop, forget. Just don't waste your time. Those of you, because I know some of you have an aptitude for motivational speaking. Everybody always has. There will always be some people that are more inclined towards. Don't waste your time. Let me just advise. We've been there before. You understand? Don't waste your time. You know, you'll be shocked. Eventually, you'll not be shocked. Maybe the activist that you're looking up to, maybe is Nnamdi Kanu that you're looking up to. Oh, yeah, you know, revolution. You must change this country. You will not be shocked in the future. You will not see the person collecting money from politicians. You'll be, I'll be like, what? You get. Amen. Okay? People are sinful. And it's a shame. All these things I'm saying, you people don't even understand. And I wanted to give an example of IBB, but how many of you know who IBB is? Nigeria. Where are we going to? You don't know who IBB is. You know the name. You didn't do government. In government, they didn't even teach you. Did they teach you? They didn't teach you, Abby. This is our country. Only God help us. So, it's like... it's God help us. So, but it doesn't matter. It's God we came here to discuss, not IBB. So, nothing spoil. Again. So, what was I saying? Talk now. Don't be very, very, very... Yeah, so Kim was the one that finished the work. So, anyway, I was talking all of that story just about death. So, death is... being cut off from God, and there's also the implications. It produces a lifestyle. You know, if you're cut off from God, it's not just that you'll be cut off from God. You'll produce a lifestyle that represents that debt. You get. Part of the lifestyle is wanting to take multiple wives. You know, you'll create your own entertainment center. You understand? Yeah, you will, and that's one of the major things about the world. I need to tell you so that you be careful. You see, the human idea is how can I create happiness for myself? That's one of the major ambitions of mankind. So that's why we are very heavy on entertainment. Praise God. Praise God. Please listen to me. Listen to me. I need to teach you. These are the things that will make you wise. That's why, that's why we are very heavy on entertainment. Entertainment is huge. Okay? Because it's a drive to create happiness. And where we are going to is full-blown entertainment. We get, that's where we are going to. Full-blown entertainment. Meaning you won't walk, you won't do anything. You'll just be watching pornography. You'll be playing game. You'll be watching football. Then you watch movie. Praise God. Are we together? That's where we are going to. Okay? You'll just be, you might even be, you know, they might chuck something in your head. Before, we used to think that they would chuck something in your head, but Elon Musk is doing his own another way. They'll put implants in you. So you'll just be directly, you won't need to watch TV. The TV will be in your head. Okay? And the TV will be in your head. You'll just be on your own. From football, you switch to porn. From porn, you switch to game. From game, you switch to music. Okay? So be careful. Okay? So, anyway. So, it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Are we together? It's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So, there is a price of death. So, what was happening before, it was that life for life. Okay? So that it won't be like... So that the wrath of God will not come upon you, because God's response to sin has to be wrath. So that the wrath of God will not come upon you, you will use another life to in place of your own life. Okay? So the blood, when God created man, God put the spiritual essence, that life there is spiritual essence. The spiritual essence of man is in his blood. Are we together? Are we together? Even in the occultic, if the thing goes to a level, it will enter blood. You understand? You drink blood or they will cut your hand. You know, if you're entering secret courts, after a while, they will cut your hand and they will pour the blood. And then, you know. Why? Because it is the same thing. It is about the demon has to come and drink blood. You know, so if they want to invite some demons, if they want to invite demons, they will give the demon blood. The demon will come and, you know. So, the life of human beings, the spiritual essence of not just human beings, but just creation is in the blood. So, back then, what was happening was that you use animals in the place of man. So, the death that man is meant to experience, the animal would experience it. Are we together? Do we understand that? We understand that. So, God gave them a whole system. Okay? God gave them a whole system of, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, a whole system of various, that's what we call the Old Covenant, but it was always around the blood. The major worship in what we call the Old Covenant was the yearly sacrifice of atonement. The chief priests of Israel, every year, would enter the holiest of holies and then he'll make sacrifice for the entire Israel. Are we together? Yeah. So that was like the major, I don't know, what can we call it? I don't know, there's nothing else that we can, but that's like the major yearly thing that happens. It happens around Passover. So Jerusalem will be filled with people. People will have come to Jerusalem for the Passover. And then at that point in time, the chief priest would make that sacrifice. Then he would then come out and bless the people. Okay? So when he does that, it's like we have renewed credit for one more year. Yeah, so that's how the thing was operating. So it's like data has finished for January. We have recharged. We have bought for March. Amen. Amen. So obviously, you can tell that system has problem. You know, because you have to renew it every year. Let us go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10. We'll read from verse 1. Are you understanding what I'm saying? For the law having a shadow of things to come. We'll read from verse 1 to 3. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. So what he's saying here is that this yearly sacrifice does not work. And why doesn't it work? Let's go to verse 2. Or it works, but it works is like a stopgap measure. For when would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. Let's go to verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. So, one of the major problems of that kind of system is that system reinforces the idea that you are a sinful person. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. It's like now, if you do Netflix, or maybe you do Google subscription. You want to do Google Premium, okay? If you do it on a monthly basis, every month you remind yourself, as the thing is reaching, they will remind you, okay, your subscription will expire next month too. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that monthly subscription is a reminder of you that I need to find money every month. Do you get what I'm saying? Right. But if we do a yearly subscription, do you understand what I'm saying? You won't get that reminder again. Yeah. So if you do a yearly subscription, you can forget. Do you get my point? Right? Now, if you're doing a monthly subscription, maybe 1 month you forgot. Maybe you forgot to put credit on your card or something, you know. And they will not tell you that, oh, actually, your subscription has not done this thing. So this, if you take that same concept into this idea of sin, the sacrifice of sin is meant to take away, or the sacrifice is meant to take away, is meant to purge you from sin, or is meant to purge you from the knowledge that you are a sinful person because atonement has been made. Do you understand? So that's the purpose of the sacrifice. But if you are coming to renew it every year, what that means is that indirectly we are reminding ourselves of our imperfection every year. Do you understand? So someone can slap you now. Give you, what? Why did you slap me? How can you say, why did I slap you? Give you another slap. What? You know? Then as the fight is happening, the person will now remember, oh, wow. You know? And maybe you now, as you want to slap your own back, you'll now be like, ah. Okay, no worry. He slapped me, Rabbi. I go shoot him. You know? But it doesn't matter. Next week, there's sacrifice. So make I slap him now. Then next week, I'll go and sacrifice. Do you understand? You know, many of us think like that. Let me just do this thing now. I will ask for God for forgiveness later. Now, that's technology. Is because you are reminded. You are really telling yourself, I'm a sinful person. Do you understand? All right? So, it will create a system of sin. The sin will be very high. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you sure you understand what I'm saying? Do I need to explain it in a different way? Is there anybody that does not understand what I'm saying? Anyone? Okay. So, number one, it is not a perfect system because it reminds us of the fact that we are inadequate. And that also affects our lifestyle. So, every year we are going to renew. Every year we are going to renew. Okay? Now, when we say we want atonement from sin, it's not just that we want the sin to be... It's like we don't want to be held accountable. Eh? It's not just that, okay, you're meant to pay your life, but instead of paying your life, you would then, this animal would be your place. It's that the bondage of that sin, we want to be released from that bondage. Are we together? So when we talk about atonement, what we are ultimately talking about is the freedom and liberty that we have, because sin is bondage. Practically, you understand what I'm saying? The more you do something, the more in bondage you would come into it. Meaning your ability to say no will be reducing. So if you are going to have to renew it every year, what it means is that we are still not yet free fully. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? We are still not yet free fully. We still have to, you know, it's just not a perfect system. Okay? Praise God. So what did God do? Very simple. God sent Jesus Christ to die once and for all. Amen. Let's go to verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. So God wasn't himself happy with this system, because this system was just a stopgap measure. You want to sit up well. This system was just a stopgap measure. So it's not like God was that happy with the thing. God was just enduring. Praise God. Do you understand? No, God is a very patient person. Can we thank God for that? Yeah, he's the most patient person I've seen in my life. Huh? I'm telling you, God is so patient. Yeah, that's why I always strive for patience with people. You know, because God is so patient. God is patient with me. You understand? Who knows? If I was God, by now I might have killed myself. Yeah. So, verse 7. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering. So he's not talking about the entrance of Jesus. Because Hebrews is talking about Jesus. Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. Praise God. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of, by that we will have been sanctified. So that taking away of the first to bring the second is that we will be, so the second is that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Can we read that together? Okay. So through the offering of Jesus. Huh? So you remember, they used to offer bull and goats. Abina, goats, lamb, right? But now through the offering of Jesus, we will have been sanctified once for all. Amen. Let's go to verse 12. So if you hear sanctification, it's not a deep teaching. It's just that the blood of Jesus has made atonement forever. Okay? That's what sanctification is about. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Thank you. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Please note this thing. By one offering, he has perfected forever. Okay? So it's no longer yearly offering now. We now have one offering that has done it forever. Can we say that forever? Forever. Can we say it again? Forever. Forever. So he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Amen. So the sacrifice of Jesus Christ means that if Jesus does not come back to year 30-25, people will still be getting saved. Amen. Are we together? Number two, there is also no sin that can't be washed away. Eh? Because it's not about actions. All sin is coming from a source. Now, that offering has dealt with that source. Are we together? All right? Amen. Okay, let's continue. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Let's go back to verse 16. So, the reason why they did this offering of Jesus Christ, that sanctification process, because you see, remember what I was saying about atonement and how he washes us, how he sets us free from the bondage of sin. A goat cannot do it because a goat does not have the life capacity to set you free from the real problem, meaning not just the action, the thing that is driving you to do it. Praise God. Can we look at that brother? I don't know who that is. Is he meant to be here? Can someone go outside? Indy, can you just... Okay. Don't worry. So, what was I saying? Yeah. So you can't wash it well, okay? So, this, understand, is very simple. This blood of Jesus, it has capacity to wash you outside, inside. In other words, what does it mean? It has the capacity to, when we say that you are sanctified, eh? What it means is that from your within, you can start obeying the laws of God via the Holy Spirit. Amen. Without that sacrifice, you can't do it. Eh? That's what it means to be born again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? Without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you can't, you know that thing of you do wrong and then you feel bad. It doesn't exist. Amen. What exists is morality, a moral framework. Are we understanding? Right? But that sacrifice now cleanses you inside. So from inside, you are sanctified. Hallelujah. From your inside, you are sanctified. So that is why every genuine Christian wants to do the will of God. The issue is they don't know how to. Amen. Amen. This is how we know that people that are consistently going to nightclub are not saved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Eh? If the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from the inside, the issue, we will not be struggling to bring you to church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? If you are cleansed from inside, what it means is that in your core, in the core of your spirit, there is already an affinity for Jesus and the things of the kingdom. Because he has written, he says, I will put my laws into their hearts. And in their minds, I will write them. Do you get my point? So the thing is internal. There's an internal work that will start. Now, we'll then continue the work with teachings, coming to church, but at least it will start. Do you understand my point? Right? So, salvation is not fake. You know, you can't have, salvation cannot be misunderstood. If they are saved, they are saved. Amen. 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 Do you understand what I'm saying? Alright? If you are saved, you are saved. You can't be saved and be living like you are not saved. Then that salvation is in question. Because it's not a fake work. It's a real work that is from the inside. I'm not saying that you are perfect, though. That's not what I'm saying. Are we together? What I'm saying is that the core of your essence is with Jesus. It has to be with Jesus. You get? Are we together? Yeah. This thing I'm saying will save you from a lot of deception. Everybody, you have to be saved. Not just born again. I mean, you have to be saved from this deception. Okay? Hallelujah. For instance, we ask ourselves the question, why is it that there are so many Christians in the society, but the society is still corrupt? How many of you have thought of that thing before? Anyone? You know, Nigeria now is more corrupt now than 1982. It's more... You know, and then people talk philosophical as if the question is a philosophical question. The answer is simple. What's the answer? Ask me, what's the answer? All of these people are not saved. Amen. Salvation is not crowd. Like you pack crowd doesn't mean that all the people are saved. Are we together? People that are saved, it is clear. Because the change, what I'm trying to say is that the change is very profound. It is an internal change. It's not an external change. We didn't dress up the person. You get? We didn't say, okay, you, no. Start wearing suits. That's not what we did. That's not what God did. You get? Right? Wear your cap. I'll use an example. We didn't say, we need to give you good shoe. You know, we need to upgrade you. No, that's not what we did. As you are saved, you are still the same way. If you have body odor, as it came off what that called, as you're going back to your seats, you're having body odor. You know, nothing changed externally. But what changed is the inside, is the heart. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
It is a core shift. It must be, you understand? So it's a real thing. You get? It's not a superficial thing. You understand? It's not IG picture. You are frowning, but you are smiling for IG picture. No, it is a core thing. Are we together? Let's continue. And in their minds, I will write them. I'm 17. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. 19. Therefore, okay? Now, these are the implications of the sacrifice of Jesus. Have you now? So, all of these things Jesus has done, therefore, brethren, having boldness, amen, to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Can we say that together? Let us draw near. Eh? So the blood of Jesus makes us do what? Draw near. Amen. Amen. Eh? Because we can now access the holiest through that blood. So let us draw near. So the first implication of Jesus' sacrifice is that we should draw near to God. Amen. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's go back. You know, the fantastic way the mind works. I know it's not pure water now. Some of you are imagining pure water. You know, obviously, it's not that pure water that we are talking about. Amen. So, the implications of... So, I'm teaching you what the blood of Jesus means. So, what does the blood of Jesus mean? It means that you cannot be close to God, meaning you can come closer to where God is, because your heart has been sprinkled from an evil conscience. You know what your conscience is now? Your moral compass. You know, even if you are not born again, you still have a conscience, right? But that conscience can be evil. Amen. What's the example of an evil conscience? I've given you guys examples now. And I've given you guys an example before, but let me give you another example. You go and arrest the old boys and you send them to prison. Then the youth now start saying, free Sam Larry. It's oppression. Why are you oppressing us? Shena, so did they do life? You will not be pained. You know, people be pained. That, this boy just, they make money. They feed the family. They do all these things. And then police just come and arrest them. Is that good? Is that good? Amen. Now, he's feeling bad. Eh? But the conscience is evil. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? Is it good? Allow boys to make money. Why are you wicked? Amen. So, that is what you have when you have an evil conscience. It can be warped, right? But the blood of Jesus delivers us from the evil conscience. Now, mind you, all these things, they are also operations. The operation of this thing is via the Holy Spirit, okay? But it's the blood that gives us access to it. So when one is now saved, the Holy Spirit now enters and begins to, you know that thing now, you lose your peace, all those things, you know, those operations now begin to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right? So it's now, okay, before you could keep malice for 2 years, you know, 5 years, self, but now the Holy Spirit will be judging you. No, you cannot do this. You cannot do this. You cannot do this. Hallelujah. All right, then it is those operations are because of the blood of Jesus, and then the bodies are now washed with pure water. This pure water is not, is not pure water, amen. It is the word of God that is allowing the body. Are we together? Please hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. It is through the word of God, the body is becoming cleaner through the word of God. Okay? The body is becoming cleaner. Okay? Meaning sin, because it is sin that people do with their bodies. Are we together? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Okay? It is sin. You know, when his body, people used to do sin. Okay, so that sin actually has an impact on the body itself. Praise God. Are we together? Sin has an impact on the body itself. It's not my message for today, but a lot of sicknesses are actually coming from sin. Okay? From sin and also demons. Okay? A lot. More than you think. I know you might think, the way I said it might seem like, okay, majority sickness is just malaria, you know. But there are some sicknesses, more than we think. Yeah, it's demons and sin. It's the effect of sin. Okay? And I need to start rounding off now. Let's go on. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. There's a lot here that I can talk about, but there's no time. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Praise God. Amen. Let's go back, please. So let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I'll come back to this when I come to the practical ways that we can be holy. But let's move on for now. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Now, before I go on, let me round off this thing, because the next scripture we are going on is another phase of the topic. But the main thing is that you can see here that the blood of Jesus is not like, so that vampire will not suck your blood. You get my point? Are we together? That one is a Nollywood blood of Jesus. Okay? Are we together? You remember what I started? It's understanding that will make the things superstition or spirituality. You understand, right? If you have a Nollywood understanding of the blood of Jesus, you know, it's not, you say blood of Jesus four times before you go to bed. Are we together? That one is just your own fiction. You have created your fantasy. You get, right? The blood of Jesus is so that we can come near. Hallelujah. It has given us the access to God. So it has opened us up to the possibilities of holiness. It has opened us up through the cleansing. Are we together? It has opened us up. It has given us access to God that we never had before. Praise God. Are we together? Yeah. So, just remove Nollywood from your mind. Yes, it won't work. Because it won't work. You know, if you are misusing it, it won't work. You know, you can't say, amen. So, it also, this is also where we get deliverance from. Amen. Amen. I won't really go, because that won't then be another issue. But you remember we said that sin is also bondage. So all bondages are coming from sin. So bondage of all kinds. Family bondage, bondage in the lineage, bondage of sin. When things are too tough, you know, masturbation, all those kind of things, right? So all kinds of bondages. In other words, everything that is oppressing us and holding us down. Because the blood of Jesus has sanctified us, that power has also been broken over us. Hallelujah. Why? Because the sin that is the base of it has been dealt with. Okay? So this is why I know, are we together? That if someone should come here and say, look, I have always, from my youth, maybe I'm a woman, it's only women that I'm sexually attracted to. I will shout and say, you need deliverance. Are we together? What I'll say is, you need to be born again. Amen. You know the deliverance I mean? Maybe we need to send it to Sele. They will flog the thing out of you. You know? I won't shout and say, wow, you need, no. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's about understanding. Do you get? There is no sin that is too big for God. You get? There's no sin that God is looking at and say, even Hitler. If Hitler got born again before he died, he's not in heaven. Are we together? Hitler. At least you know Hitler now. You don't know IBB, but at least you know Hitler. Right? Even Hitler. Osama. If maybe that day that they were going to kill him, he saw one message online and he gave his life to Christ. As they shot him, he's going to heaven. Are we together? You get? So sin is not an issue. You get? Sin and blood of Jesus, they are not mates. You get my point, right? It's not an issue. It's understanding. You get? So everybody must be delivered. You see, once a Christian enters Once, no matter the issue, meaning even like maybe they married you at a 2 to Satan. Eh? Satan is your husband. You know, your real husband, you cook food for him. You know. The moment you come to church, eh? Once we start that journey, there must be deliverance. It's not conditional. You get? Are we together? There must be deliverance. Okay? With that being said, don't just do any deliverance anyhow. You know, let me just say it. Let me just add it so that you will not be foolish. You get? Huh? Some prostitutes, you have to refer them to someone that is stronger than you so that you see from counseling, you turn to customer. Yeah. All right. So you refer people to people that are stronger than you. You understand? All right? Okay. So, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. But exhorting, I'll come back to this. I said I'll come back to this. But exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. So that's the first implication. The first implication is that you are coming closer to Jesus. And it has all that implications. Are we together? All that implications. Healing, deliverance, prosperity. You know, everything is in it. In other words, God has saved you. He has sanctified you. And so you are sanctified. Can we say that together? I'm sanctified.
I'm sanctified.
And I am being sanctified. Amen. I don't want to go too deep into that, what I just said now, but I just want to explain. If you go back, one of the scriptures said being sanctified. What that means is that the realities of God are current and progressive. Okay, so you are in it. And the next verse would explain. You are currently in it, but then your experience of it is growing. Do you understand? Yeah, all the realities of God are like that. I guess. Because of this. So, he then gives another implication of the blood of Jesus. Because you see, I want you to know that God is a person. Hmm? Never forget that thing. God is a person. You know, the way you can change your mind, God can change his mind. You know, today you can like somebody, tomorrow you hate the person. God is like that too. Get, right? And these payments, you know, we said that the thing is blood. It's not a cheap payment. It's free, but it's not cheap. Are we together? What did I say? But it's not cheap. You understand? It's free, but it's not cheap. But you see, you know, human being, what is free? We don't value it. Are we together? Are we together? So don't carry that human knowledge to God, though. Because God's things, even though they are free, they are not cheap. You understand? The payments is his son. So God said that, okay, you people cannot pay. And you people have scattered all the sheep in Israel. It's too much. The killing is too much. You know. If a sheep is coming into the world, the sheep will be angry. Why am I coming into this world? You know, because I'm just coming into the world for killing. They said, okay, look, you people cannot pay. We are destroying the ecosystem. You know, let's allow these animals breed. I will pay myself. And what will I use to pay? I will use the thing that is the most precious to me. The life of my own son. Are we together? So that is the blood of Jesus. It is the most expensive thing in the universe. Jonathan, it is the very life and the very sacrifice of Jesus. You get? Okay? So it's not a small deal. Your experience of it is that you receive Jesus Christ and then automatically something happens. But it is not cheap. It is just free. And why is it free? Someone else has paid. Are we together? You get? For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. I know when people read this Bible, it used to make you shake. That's the aim. Are we together? The aim of the... That's why they put it there. Yes. Let's continue. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. So, they are not saying that, look, see, if you, and there's a reason why later on, but just take it from now that, because the people he's talking to are Christians. And he's saying that, look, see, as Christians, if we then say that, no, we don't want this thing, or we say that we are saved, but then we still carry on with sin willfully, what does that mean? That means that it is, it's almost like you're living as if you are not saved. Are we together? Eh? Are we together? All right. It means that there is a fearful expectation of judgment. So when you read this scripture and your heart shakes, yes, they put it there. It is meant to bring in you the knowledge of fearful expectation of judgment, meaning God is coming back one day to judge us. Are we together? And fiery indignation. Eh? Can we read this? Can we put it in Amplified? Fiery indignation is not a small word, though. Let's say Amplified. But a kind of awful and terrifying expectation of divine judgment and the fury of a fire and burning wrath which will consume the adversaries, those who put themselves in opposition to God. So what God is saying here is that I am saved doesn't mean that my eye cannot be red. Are we together? Saved people, we are not talking about people in the world. Saved people. Eh? It's possible for you to see the red eye of God, even though you are saved. Amen. You know, the part of God, let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Sorry, give me like 10 minutes. Are you blessed? Okay, let's start from verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, this thing says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. You hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have dear those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Do you know that story? Well, I mean, can't go there, but let's just let's continue. To eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. So that's what Balaam did. So the children of Israel wanted to fight a nation. And so the king wanted to, because Balaam was a prophet. So the king, he had a reputation that whoever he cursed was cursed and whoever he blessed was blessed because he was a prophet. But the king wanted to sway the team in his favor. So he wanted to pay him so that he would curse Israel. So he couldn't do it because he was prophesying by the Spirit of God. So what he then did was that he then said, okay, you want to curse these people, Abi? I actually can't curse them. But this is how you can make God vex for them. So he then gave him the counsel that send fine women in their midst. Let them sleep with them. And God will not be angry with them. And you now, so that's what he's talking about here. So who taught Balak? So Balaam taught Balak. He gave him that strategy to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat in sacrifice to idols and to commit sexual immorality. So that's idolatry and sexual immorality. Let's go to verse 15. Thus, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Hallelujah. I won't go into this one, but the point here is that they were Christians, they were teaching a teaching that Jesus hated it, you know, and they were popular, you get, because the Nicolaitans, they were not just only in this church, their influence spread across many churches. So there was a popular teaching, that's what I'm saying, that there was a, so not every popular teaching is, you don't judge the accuracy of a teaching because it is popular. Are we together? Yeah, this doctrine of the Nicolaitans, it was a popular doctrine in this time. Right? And Jesus said he hated it. Which thing I hate? Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now he said, this is not coming in peace. They say that if people repent from this doctrine, if not, it's battle. It's me and you. You know? And my weapon is my mouth. You understand? I will come and I will talk. You understand? Oh, you don't understand. May you not understand.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. Let's move on, because of time. I also want to show you verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira. Let me before we go on, because it's, I want to do my best to teach you the Bible. So let's go to verse 1. Unto the angel of the church in Ephesus writes, this thing saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered. Hold that thing, that you have found them liars, and you have persevered. No. Move on. And you have persevered and have patience. I mean, you hold it in your mind, because I'll reference it again. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So you see what I was saying when I was saying that movement, it was a popular movement. Are we together? Eh? And one of the only good things about this church is that they recognize. Remember, the first thing he said was that you tested those who said the apostles and you found them liars. So when those Nicolaitans, because Amen. Let us go to the book of Acts. I don't know, you should be happy today. Those of you that have been shouting for revelation, today God has answered your prayer. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Let's start from verse 1. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So, you know, this is where they chose the first deacons. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. We know Stephen now. Stephen, you know, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Now, this Nicholas is then the great man of God. That created the Nicolaitans. Are we together? So, those people that are Nicolaitans, the reason why they had standing is that their apostle, in quotes, you understand what I mean? Right? Was one of the first deacons. You know, these were not small people in the church. You know, after the apostles is these guys. Are we together? Right? So, these were weighty people in the church, right? And then one of those people, Nicholas, eventually started bringing a doctrine of, what is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? From what they read, it is clear, it doesn't matter what you do. Are we together? In other words, intense, you will see Christianity plus intense sexual immorality. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together? Eh? So this doctrine of the Nicolaitans, it has not disappeared. It just has various manifestations. The manifestation that what we call it now is hyper grace. Are we together? Eh? In other words, a Christianity that downplays sexual immorality, that, you know, it doesn't really matter. You just notice that in these environments, they knock themselves, you know, pastor did not choir member, you know, everybody is, you know, one girl in church can have 5 boyfriends, you know, she's dating the pastor, assistant pastor, you know, wow. You just notice that. in this setting, these are the things that we see. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you see, nobody will ever come out and say you should be sleeping with yourself. You know, there is no deception. You understand? Deduction will start sounding good. Are we together? So, the church in Ephesus, they saw these people and their doctrine, and they said, no, this is not the right doctrine. We hate this one. This one, we're not. We're all Christians, though, but we should carry your Nicolaitan doctrine away. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Revelation 2. At least those of you that have been thinking that, like I said, God has answered your prayer today. You have revelation. So at least you will not think that we don't have revelation. All right, let us go to Revelation 2. Okay. 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, this thing says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the first, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. Huh? You see the thing again? To teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and things sacrificed to idols. So this Jezebel too has the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Are we together? But she is not a Nicolaitan. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So the thing, it's about the spirits of the thing. It has many names. The name in our time, like I said, is what we call hypergrace. Okay? No, go back. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. So we don't allow wrong teachings. It's naivety. Because wrong teaching will carry you to hellfire. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Eh? I don't know, maybe another time I'll do another series on deception, how to preserve yourself. But wrong teaching is not just wrong teaching. It's not every church you just go to. Let me just tell you right now. Even I think I'm saying, it's not one body. It's not really one body like that. You know? You understand? Are we together? From these scriptures I've read, some people in the body, Jesus is saying, okay, you people have church, but actually, in that your church, I'm coming to kill some people. Yeah, I'm coming to. So even to Jesus, it's not one body. Are we together? Eh? That here, it's not every church meeting they go to. Because you allow that man, Jezebel, after the scripture says, the foundation of the Lord has a seed. The Lord knows those who are his. You understand? Who calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eating sacrificed to idols. So sexual immorality is a huge deal. I tell you, of all the things, Kai, of all the issue you can have, please, don't have that issue. Sexual immorality, fornication, just if the thing is doing you too much, just go and do something else. I beg, just say, God, convert this thing to anger. You know, if you want to sin by force, you understand? But don't, sexual immorality is a big deal. You know, let me just say it that way. God does not like it. Are we together? And I give her time to repent of her sexual immorality. So that's this woman, Jezebel. So Jezebel teaches hypergrace. She will teach. It doesn't matter. You know, I'll show you a new level of grace. You know, that's how they say it. You know, I'll show you a new level of grace. You know, that, you know, no, when you just come, there may be one handsome young man who come to the church. You just say, wow, you know, come to my office. You know, and I want to pray for you, you know, but I just want you to do this one thing. You know, just come. So she would sleep with people, you know. And I give her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Let's go on. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed. And those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. unless they repent of their deeds. 23. I will kill her children with death. This is Jesus. It's Jesus. Say, when I'm ready, and I'll be giving you time to repent. You're not repenting, I'll be okay. When I'm ready, three things. Number one, you sickness, intense sickness. It'll just give you one, cancer of the pancreatic organ on your bed. All the boys are sleeping with intense tribulation. You understand? Then your children, I will be killing them one by one. One by one. I will kill our children with death. Because you know, she got the children from the boys now. That so she'll give birth, you know. Even though I will kill them. I don't accept those children. I will kill them. Let them come back to me. And all the churches shall know. It will be a public spectacle. It will be a scandal. I don't even understand what I'm saying. It will be on social media. That's what I mean. You know, it will be on social media. Everybody will know that I am he who searches the minds at heart. And I will give to each one of you according to your work. So you are not start giving you. According to your works. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go back to Hebrews 11. I'll be Hebrews 10. So all of that was to say that the blood of Jesus is a big deal. Because it to them is priceless. Are we together? It's free, but it's not cheap. Which will devour the adversaries. Let's go to 28. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing? Stay here. Stay on this 29. And insulted the Spirit of grace. So, the way they take lackadaisical attitude to sin, this is how they take it. You have trampled the Son of God underfoot. You have counted the blood of the covenant a common thing. Meaning, you have turned it into 100 naira. Are we together? And you have insulted the Spirit of grace. So that's how they interpret it. Not how you intend it. Are we together? Eh? You know, if you slap soldier, soldier will not slap you back. Amen. You know, most likely now, if you're fighting somebody now, the way most people think of violence is that people should be doing things at the same level. So if I slap you, you slap me back. But there are people in this life that if you slap them, they'll stab you. It's how you interpret it. You understand, right? That's why you shouldn't fight, because you don't know where people are coming from. You know, people are crazy. It's not everybody that... And when the thing always happens, people, then, you know, that's why human beings are very, human beings are so foolish. Human beings do not start saying, but that's unfair now. That's unfair. You use excessive force. Which one is excessive force? You know, a soldier thinks life and death. You understand? If it's like Shiites that went to go and block, they were moving a general one time. Then Shia, I don't know if you know Shiites, you know. So they're a Muslim sect. You know, Muslims have different sects. You know, all Muslims are not one. I know it looks that way, but all Muslims are not one. They have different sects. So there's a Shiite sect. So some military convoy was passing. They were carrying a general in the convoy. So then they were not protesting. And the way those people are, they don't send anybody. Nigeria, they don't send Nigeria. They can protest in front of the president. They don't respect Nigeria. That's how Shiites are. So the military convoy, they were carrying a general. I think maybe like a 3-star general. What kind of high-ranking person? So they now blocked the convoy. You know, they're like, you won't pass. You won't pass. You are protesting. You know, I think they now wanted to overpower the convoy. The soldier did not respond with baton. They started shooting. They destroyed those people. Kai, they shot the people, went to their base, cleared the base, arrested the guy. Like, in fact, when the guy was done, when they were done, with the leader, what's his name again? It was Zakzaki. I think he's still alive now. He's blind. He was seen. He saw when he entered prison. He came out blind. They killed his children, his biological children. Because when they went to clear out the place, his children that were, they cleared out the place, like they leveled the place. The guys calmed down. You understand? Right? Because soldier doesn't understand civilian protests. It's not politician that they will not send a delegation. They will not come and talk to the crowd. Hey, we have heard your cry. You know, just take it easy. We'll carry your petition to the National Assembly. You know, everybody will not calm down. They'll not allow them to pass. No. So, you, with God, you don't judge the thing based on how you are. Because, you see, when you are in sin, it's normal to you. Especially the mindset. When you lack understanding, nobody just forgiveness. Yeah, I'll go to church. In fact, it can even become so routine that you don't even ask God for forgiveness again. Okay? But those people, two things. This one, meaning this is how they take it. Number two, they don't respond immediately. Remember what Jesus Christ said? He said, I give her time to repent. You see, God's character. He even said it. Now look, see, I know, is in Job. Let me look for it in Job. He said it that, I know that the reason why men do lots of evil is that my nature is that I don't really talk too much all the time. Let me look for it. It's in Job. Praise God. Ecclesiastes 8. Sorry, it's not Job, it's Ecclesiastes. From verse 11. We'll read 11 and 12. And I'll close. Hallelujah. You see? Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Praise God. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. Hallelujah. So you see, God's nature is that he allows sin to go on for various reasons. Or the major reason is what he said in Revelation. He wants people to repent. That's his nature. Okay? So, men will be doing their own. And even though he knows that, okay, many men will think that, just like the Nigerian politicians. Nigerian politicians are stealing money and they are not dying. Their children are graduating from school. They're becoming grandparents. Abina, they're living to ripe old age. Abina. So God is like, look, I want you both to repent and I'll be patient. So because there is a delay between sin and judgment, are you hearing what I'm saying? Right? There's a delay. Men naturally feel emboldened to commit sin. Because people think that God is not looking. Hallelujah. In fact, as a Christian, you can even start thinking, you can mess up your mind. That's why he then says in the next verse, that's Ecclesiastes, next verse, do a sinner does evil 100 times as his days are prolonged, yet surely I know that it will be well. So even you as a Christian, you have to go through life with this knowledge that all these Yahoo Yahoo boys, they might be the ones making money, but I know that it will be well with me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. So, the blood of Jesus is precious. Can we say that?
The blood
of Jesus is precious. Yeah, it's precious. It's precious. Are you afraid? Yes, be afraid. That's the point. Understand the weight of it. Sin should scare you. You know, some kinds of sin. You know, I know not all sin will scare you, but because you're a criminal. You know, but sin should scare you. You know, there should be some sin that you should be afraid. You know, I can never do this thing in my life, God. Ah, no, it can't happen. It can't happen over my dead body. Ah, me in this thing, no. So I will do everything possible. For instance, I never want it to be told. Ah, I never want it to be added to my record in heaven. I'm scared and I am fearful of what will happen to me if I were to sleep with any of the ladies here. Ah, I'm so scared of it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, may it never... Ah, no, Lord. No, it can never happen over my dead body. Hallelujah. Are we together? That's the mentality. Okay? You don't treat it casually. Are we together? If you treat it casually, for instance, that's when you be the foolish campus fellowship leader on campus that, you know, girl be bringing food for you 11 p.m. You know, they're cooking food for Papu. bring food for you, you know. You don't be treating sin casually. You get everything just casual. Are we together? Are we together? Eh? You need to be scared so that you be vigilant. Amen. Amen. I'm teaching you grace. So this is grace teaching. Are we together? Fear of hellfire is grace teaching. It's not grace teaching is not I can do anything. Are we together? So that your mind will know where you need help. You understand? There's a place in this same Hebrews, it said that, look, see, you have not yet resisted to the shedding of blood. Huh? Sin. Please look for it, Wale. You have not yet resisted, and you've forgotten the, I think it's maybe Hebrews 12 or something, and you have forgotten the exhortation that speaks to you and says, when God disciplines you, don't take it as a bad thing. Hallelujah. Yeah, Hebrews 12. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed. It's 18. You know what I mean? Before I commit this sin, I'll stab myself. It's 18. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed because you have to resist sin. You are in a fallen world and you have to have a mind of resistance. Are we together? Huh? You have to have a what?
A mind of resistance.
Are we together? Your mind has to be strong. That's how you will then have access to the grace. The mind has to be strong. You shouldn't take sin lightly. You understand? You should know that this is the major issue that can destroy your life. It should be like that. Amen. Amen. Are we together? Thank you. You have tried a lot. So, that's what the blood of Jesus means for us. And then also, let me say the one that we all like. Remember we said we are being sanctified. So what it just means is that you read 1 John. You can read 1 John when you get home. You know, because you're not perfect and everything. So when you sin, ask God for forgiveness and God will forgive you. You like that one, Abby? Yeah, we all like that one. So ask God for forgiveness. So you can read 1 John when you get home. It's very straightforward. What John is saying there is very clear. We have an advocate with the Father. We have the times that we fall, you know, God is able to, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God is able to bring us back and forgive us. Immediately, God must forgive us. Yet, it is unrighteous for God to not forgive us. Why? Because Jesus has already paid. So, God can't say, I won't forgive you. You understand? So, when we commit sin, let us go back to God. But you know what I'm talking about is the general trust and mindset in life. Yeah, so sin is meant to be something that happens to you. You are meant to sin because you have not yet grown to a certain level yet, and also because you still have areas of your life that you are making mistakes in. Are we together? Yeah, so that's how you are meant to be. God understands that nobody is perfect. So even though we will all still sin, it is because we are still not grown and we are still growing into perfection. And perfection is the goal, you know. And then also we still have areas of weaknesses that we need God to help us deal with. Yeah, so that's the mentality. So in other words, you're not meant to be committing consistent blunders. You're not meant to be, you get what I mean, right? You're not meant to be in the lifestyle of sin. It's meant to be something that happens and then you work on it, you move on. But it's not meant to be like from church and you're going home to smoke weed. You know, this kind of thing. You're not saved yet. And if you're saved, I mean, obviously, from all these things we have read, clearly, you can see that you can lose your salvation. You understand? So you see all these debates people have is because people are not teaching the Bible. From all the scripture that we have read, can you not lose your salvation? When God is talking to a prophetess, he said Jezebel the prophetess. How is she prophesying? It's not Holy Spirit she's prophesying with. Or she was prophesying with. You understand? Eh? And Jesus said, you are a prophetess. But I'm giving you a triple package. First, cancer of the liver. Just enter hospital. Then tribulation, intense problem. This one lose his job. This one, they cut this one's neck. Then I'll start killing your children. I'll kill them. You understand? Maybe plane crash. Or then I'll start dying one by one of mysterious illness. One will sleep, one will not wake up.
You understand? Triple package. And you're a man of, you're a woman of God, though. You have not stopped being a woman of God, though. You still have your church. You understand? But you are receiving triple package of of sin. Oh, sorry, because of sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. So please, so don't play with sin, okay? Are we together? Don't play with sin. It's destructive. You understand? Don't play with sin. Don't play. I beg you, don't catch crows. There's nothing there. I just want to beg you. Don't play. You will destroy your life. God will not come and... If you carry it too far, God will not come and... And don't ask God, God, what is the limit? What is the limit of too far? Your mind is not working. You understand? Your mind should be, let me run away from this thing as far as I can. So don't be thinking, don't be asking, okay, what's the limit of... Nobody, you know, you can ask, but let me answer that question if you're asking that question. Don't ask and say, okay, how do I know that this sin, it has not yet entered into the level of losing salvation? Don't be thinking like that. That's a false thinking. You know, you shouldn't want to be on the edge. You should want to run away from sin as far as possible. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't be thinking about that sin. Just be, your thinking in life should be that, God, I want to be as far away from sin as possible. Does anyone have any question? I'll just give you some quick tips and then we'll close. Any question? Okay. So some quick tips on how to maintain, okay, no more scripture. Some quick tips on how to maintain holiness. Now, this is before I say that, let me say this thing, that this is the phrase that you hear from elders in the faith, that term, remain rapturable. How many of you have heard that phrase? Yeah. So this is what is meant. Are we together? Meaning staying ready. In Christianity, it's one of the ways it is described is athleticism. You know, you're described as an athlete. Now, an athlete has to be in shape, even if he's not competing. Do you understand? Do you get what I'm saying? All right, so if maybe you're a footballer now, even when you're not maybe the season has ended, doesn't mean that you just be eating everything. Yeah, you still need to be in shape so that you can quickly. So you have to live a life that is rapturable, in the sense that you have to see holiness as a consistent daily thing. So that's what they mean by that, and it's a very, very true and accurate position. You know, it's not that we are scared of going to hellfire. You know, are we together? We're not scared. Nobody is scared. We are just keeping up in shape. You get. And if you want to be scared, say be scared. That's your own concern. If you want to be afraid of going to hellfire, then be afraid. If that can motivate you, it's fine. You understand? Amen. All right. So major tips. The first thing is to belong to a community. That's why in that Hebrews, you know, in that passage, there was a point that we read where it spoke about how you need to provoke one another unto good works. Right? And then that's even the passage of scripture that talks about not forsaking the gathering of the brethren. Do you remember? Yeah, so we can go back there. Not forsaking the assembly of the brethren. It's in the same thing that we read. I just glossed over it because I didn't want to focus on that at that point in time. So a huge, in order for you to be able to, you see, this thing, it's not forsaking the assembly. You see, holiness is habitual, okay? There's the daily practice of holiness, the daily purity, the daily obedience to God. It's a very practical, daily living kind of thing. And you need to be in a company to do it. It's harder if you're alone. It's almost impossible if you are alone. So you need to integrate into the community of believers. A lot of people struggle with this thing. Some people. But let me say a lot, because I'm not just talking to you here. I'm talking to just us as Christians generally. So people at times, they will have double lives. They will have church life and then, you know. But that itself is the issue. Because you see, are you guys hearing what I'm saying? Because you see, sin thrives in darkness. The stronghold of sin is secrecy. Okay? If you're a transparent person, you won't have a problem. in life. If you're trans, if you're an open book, you won't have problem in life. If you have issues with, and it's a very practical thing, if you have issues with people looking at your chat, you will have plenty of problems in life. You get? Are we together? Not that you shouldn't be private, but what I'm saying is that you should live a life so open that maybe if you're married now, your husband can look through your chat. You understand what I'm saying? Right? It's a tip that transparency guides it. It changes your mind. It transforms your mind. When your mind is ready to be transparent, then your mind would also be averse to things that will spoil that transparency. But if you're a secretive person, are you guys hearing what I'm saying? If you're a secretive person, it will be easy for you to accommodate a secret boyfriend. Your mind, it would be easier for your mind to be tempted that way. You get? But if you're an open book, right? If you're a transparent person, it would be hard for that lifestyle to enter into your life and into the system that you are living in. Are we together? Yeah. So it's about company. So you need to leverage. This is arguably the most important tip I can. I'm not necessarily going to talk much. This is one of the most important things. You need to properly integrate into church and open up your life. Amen. Every area of your life should be open. The only things that should perhaps be secret should be the things that are sensitive in nature. You know. So, I mean, you won't go and give your banking app password to someone you don't know. You know, those kind of things, right? But your life generally should be open. I'm telling you the truth. Your life should be open. You get. You shouldn't have something that you are doing that nobody, you know, your life should be open. If you are open and transparent in all that you do, just open up yourself. Don't be secretive. There's nothing that you need to know that, there's nothing that's happening that, that needs to be so special. You get, very few things are that special. So that's one of the major things. Community will help you a lot to be holy. It is the most important thing. If you're not in the right community, or let me put it this way, you will most likely be a reflection of the community you belong to. Okay? So there's real community, there's fake community. So when you are in a community, in church, I'm specifically talking about church, properly integrate. Be a church girl. Be a church boy. You'll still have issues, though. But that is a major way to block a lot of opportunity for sin. Do you understand? So the tips I'll be giving them, the major thing around the tips is that the major understanding you need to have is that, first, as I said, it's habitual. Secondly, holiness is also systematic. Sin is systematic. In other words, it's about the systems that are operating in your life. You get? Living a holy life is not like every day you are, I won't sin. No, I love Jesus. No. Okay? If you are fighting temptation all the time, you are not living a holy life. Do you understand my point? Sin is meant to be very far away from you. And then occasionally, the one that God will allow, or the one that you, maybe your thing is too much, one will come once in a while. But it's meant to be far away from you. You get? Okay? So, the second thing is that you need to, or let me say another one before I say the second thing, because I don't want to break the line of thought. Now, despite the system that you create, there will still be sin that will be coming close to you. Why? Because nobody is tempted by God. Temptation comes from within. So as long as you have lust, you will still attract sin, or you will attract temptation. Do you understand? So in every environment, you will attract sin to yourself because of the lust that is in you. Even in church, you get, right? Now, for instance, there's one brother I'm observing, you know. You know, in church now, we have quite some new people joining. So I'm observing this brother. I know it is now when the brother is young. Because, you know, of all the young people joining, you know, Yusuf, you also have fine girls. You know, some fine girls too have joined church. So I'm observing this brother. He's doing counseling. Or he's doing, I want to get to know you.
I'm just observing this guy, and I know the thing that's powering the guy. You know, I'm like, what? Let me just keep on observing. If I see that the thing is reaching a level, I'll know how to step in and help him. You know, why? Because, you know, new fine girl has come to church. When you have lust, the way the thing will manifest is, I want to get to know you and I want to counsel you. So you can attract anything to yourself. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are we together?
Yeah.
So how do you deal with those kind of things? You have to deal with those kind of things through a proper understanding of yourself. You need to know yourself. Many people have in their heart, many people are not transparent and sincere with themselves. Okay? Are we together? So the girl is falling in love, but she will not say, she can't admit that she's falling in love. She will just say, I like his preaching. You understand? Are we together? But she's falling in love. The guy is falling in love, but you will not say that actually my flesh likes girls with big bum bum. That's why I'm walking around this girl. Are we together? Inside of him, he's not fully aware of who he is. And many people are like that. Many people cannot admit who they are. I don't know. It's almost like people like showing God that they are good people. God knows you are a bad person. God is not deceived that. You know, God is not deceived that there's nothing anybody is thinking that God is like, eh? He said, we can think like this. You understand? They know you in and out. In fact, they know the lust you have that you are not aware of. You understand? Right? And they are liking you like that. Yes, sir. So you yourself, stop lying to yourself. Hallelujah. Are we together? It's a small thing, but it will help you greatly in life. As a guy, this will help you a lot. You understand? It will help you deal with women. You understand? Right? It will help you. Are we together? Every woman that enters your life, you should automatically know what you are doing with her. Okay? Is this one a friend? Is this romantic? Is this feeling that I'm feeling, where is it coming from? You know? Is it friendship? Is it romantic? Is it sex? You have to know. You have to tell yourself the truth. Actually, I am sexually attracted to this girl. She's too fine. That's why anytime she's around me, I want to talk to her. So that you can heal yourself and sort yourself out quickly before things escalate. Are we together? So you need to be very honest with yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. So that when you pray, your prayer is effective because you know what you're talking about. You understand? So that if you know that this is somebody that I need to run away from the person. You understand? Not that it's somebody that you will hug, you're not going to masturbate in your house. You get? Are we together? I think as if you don't know what I'm talking about. I know you know what I'm talking about. Yeah? Forget, Jezebel can be in many forms. You know, Jezebel is not really sexual seduction. No. That's not really what Jezebel is. But I know, just permit me. You know, there could be a good church girl that to you, Jezebel, is you. Do you understand? So when you get to church, as you are seeing her like this, in your mind, be like, go for me. I beg, let me just go and sit down on the other side of church. You know, you go and sit on the other side. I don't want to have anything to do with you. You are not my friend. You know, hello. Yes, sir. God bless you. I move on. Understand? You need to know. You understand? There are some girls that it is God bless you. That's all. If you're not honest with yourself, you will be lying to yourself. You'll be sexually attracted to somebody, but then you'll be saying that, oh, we are Christian brothers and sisters. We need to relate. We get. Are we together? As a girl too, you need to be open. Because there's a kind of lust that is youthful. It is tied to youth. As you age, it will reduce. Except you become a vagabond. But typically, as you age, the way your body is doing you now, by the time you reach 40-something, 50-something, your body will calm down. You know, as you age, it is tied to youth, you know. Sometimes, some people, their body does not calm down because they have more deeper issues. They have trauma, you know. So, most likely, as you age, youthful loss will drop. But for now, that's like the major issue. So you need to, these are the things that will help you combat it. You flee it. Okay? What did I say? You flee it. How can you flee it? You need to know the reality. You have to be honest. You get my point? Right? Be honest. Okay? Don't lie. There's some people that you will say, you know what, I can't do like you. I can't be your friend. I can't. I'll run away. So you stay far. You stay far away. You understand? If you're a girl now and you're admiring a guy now, and the guy says, that's like me, for instance, as an older man, I'm very professional when I'm communicating on text. In fact, I even purposely frustrate people. You know, it's on purpose. You can send me text, I'll reply 3 days later. It's on purpose. I want you to hit me, you know, so that when I send you text, it's professional. I'll just send you the text then, because you have to be careful. I can't, some people now, if you say, thank you, dear, well, I started. I've entered into one chance, you know. Wednesday on Saturday, you should be bouncing. Should come and sit down in the front, you know. So to help people, you understand? Me, I'm not a novice in this thing. I've survived. You understand? So when you have survived it, meaning I've known God since when I was a teenager. So we have survived scandals. I've seen things in church. You understand? So we have survived. So when you have survived it by the grace of God, you know the reality of these things, and then you don't talk one-to-one-to. So always advise older male leaders. You have to be professional when you're talking to younger ladies. You see, younger ladies, and you ladies, you need to also understand, it's also part of sincerity. You need to understand the way your heart is, you know, the weaknesses in your heart. Okay? Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. You need to be true to yourself. When you're transparent with yourself, when you are praying, you can specifically tell the Holy Spirit to help you on the specific things that you need help with. When you are transparent with yourself. Don't lie. Don't lie to yourself. You get. Alright? So always advise older guys. Be very professional. Don't use dear. Be very professional in your language. Not because the person is bad, but people can is lost. Once someone has lost in their hearts, they can interpret anything, anyhow. And I also advise younger guys, don't rush to know new ladies when they come to your church, especially when they are fine. Don't rush. Huh? Are we together? I'm not saying don't get to know them. What I'm saying is don't rush. You understand? You know, like I was talking about the brother that I'm observing. He's rushing. It's a novice mistake. You don't rush. Okay? I know this now because I'm battle tested. I've survived. You know, but you don't rush. You understand? You don't know where people are coming from. You get. I need to give. When opposite sex people come, give them space to. Don't just rush. Some people now, maybe they see fine girl now, they'll just start toasting the girl. You know, that happens. It's a novice mistake. You know. Or if they don't toast, they'll just start being around. You know. He's lost. It's lost. There's nothing. But it's understandable. I don't judge you because, you know, I understand it. So be someone that gives people space. Be comfortable with space. Hallelujah. Are we together? I'm giving you practical tips. Be comfortable with space. Especially the opposite sex. Be very comfortable with space. Give people space. Don't rush into... so many people have gone. Because, you know, they saw somebody and they, you know, oh yeah, I want to save you, you know, I want to save you. So in the spirit of wanting to save you, you know, I'll carry you to my house alone for prayer meeting, you know, in the spirit of wanting to save. You understand? Are we together? Amen. In the spirit of wanting to save, you'll go and do, you know, some people can even change their routine, you know. In the spirit of wanting to give counsel. You know, that's, you know, like I said, it's lost. And lost is like, it's serpentine. It won't, because you're a Christian brother. So it won't come with, let me take you to nightclub. That's not the way it will come. It will come in your context. So, you know, our context is Bible study and prayer. So it will manifest that way. You understand? It will manifest that way. It's your lost. It will take the shape of your environment. And you too, as a lady, don't be too, please, I beg, deal with your trauma. All these daddy issues, they don't love me. You know, for now, just love Jesus. Jesus is enough, okay? Just love Jesus. You know, those issues, they make you weak. Hallelujah. Looking for love. I love love. You know, all those things. Those things are weaknesses in the soul. Are we together? Eh? Are we together? Those things are weaknesses in the soul. And when it combines with young guys too that don't have sense, you know, you start having all these issues of he led me on, you know, he led me on, you get, which you don't want to waste your time. So belong to a community, be honest with yourself, be transparent before the Holy Spirit. It will help you a lot. It will really help you a lot. Especially, it will help you a lot as regards how you relate with the opposite sex. Because a lot of times, you know, for instance, I know that there's a kind of rawness that I speak to you guys at times. I know they're uncomfortable. You see, that discomfort is you have to understand the human nature. The human nature is deceptive. That discomfort is deception. Because internally, in the mind, there is no discomfort. Praise God. Are we together? Internally, in the mind, there is no discomfort. In the heart, it is the thoughts. You get, right? If somebody is masturbating now, that person will masturbate with a picture in mind. And what will be the picture in mind? The fine girls that he knows. You know, and when I say masturbation, you know, masturbation is not just a male thing. A woman too masturbate too. You know, but you get my point, right? So if a woman is masturbating, who will she be thinking that she's having sex with? It will be the men that are authority in her life. The men that she's looking up to. The men that she's sexually attracted to. So she can be imagining that she's having sex with her pastor. She can be imagining that, you know, someone is having a wet dream. What would be the image of that sex? It would be the person or the people that he or she is sexually attracted. So all these things are happening in you, and some of it is happening in you. So, but when we talk about it, everybody will be uncomfortable. That's deception. So, but it's fine. Externally, you know, try and look like you're holy externally, but at least in your heart, you know, be very transparent with the Holy Spirit. Don't hide anything from him. Are we together? It will help you. It will help you a lot. It will help you a lot. You will naturally be able to move. I'm sorry. I know I've kept us here for long. I'm sorry. And then create a prison for yourself. Okay? What I mean by that is create a system that, like as I was saying, holiness is systematic. Sin too is systematic. Okay? When you're sincere with yourself, you cut off some of the lust that you naturally be bringing to yourself. But when you are systematic in your life, like 70% of sin issues will drop when you are systematic, when you're habitual. You know, for instance, if you are a lazy person, you will have lots of sin. Praise God. If you don't walk, you will. If you don't have something that you are always doing at every point in time, you will be full of sin. No, leave her. Let her enjoy herself. Let her enjoy herself. Oh, okay. If you don't have, are you hearing me? If you don't have something that is consistently occupying you, you will sin. No matter the injury you are seeing. Are we together? You need to have things that are occupying. Your mind needs to be occupied. Most of the sin issues come about in our times of idleness. Okay? Are we together? Yeah, they come about in our times of idleness. If you're just somebody that doesn't have objectives, you know, even if you're not, even if your life is, for instance, if you're in school, that's like half of your day has gone to school. When you come back, there needs to be something that you do. You need to be occupied. Even rest is part of occupation. Maybe the time that you don't want to go and watch this is still part of occupation. But you need to be constantly engaged. Just being idle is not healthy. You will sin. Now there's no doubt. You will sin. Yeah, because if you don't have a system, a lot of sin is averted by you being focused on other things. Again, right? The way, you know, nobody is strong enough. You know, everybody can smoke weed. There's nobody that can't smoke weed. Yeah, everybody can. That's why there's no anointing that you have. I won't say that mean I'm an anointed pastor. I'll now go to nightclub. I say I want to preach to them in nightclub. Yeah, that's they don't preach to people in nightclub. They run away from nightclub. You get? Are we together? Because there's nobody. The moment you start seeing women dancing, and you'll be swayed. Even on top of, you'll be speaking in tongues, and you'll be, you get? There's no, you understand? It's not like, It's not like people are strong. That's not how sin is. It's environment. I used to get that. Even Jesus himself had to live like this. How do I know? I know this because when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, the disciples were surprised that he was talking to a woman. Because Jesus does not usually talk to women. Are we together? You need to understand Jesus. You see, Jesus, you need to understand the context of Jesus. Jesus is the finest human being that has ever walked the face of the earth. Are we together? Yeah? Are we together? I can guarantee you now that Jesus is not ugly. As per physical features, he's fine. Eh? Apart from the fact that physical features is fine, he's heavily anointed. Eh? And he's a very attractive person. Are we together? So what that means is that some of the women around him, aside the fact that they are, he's now young. You know, Jesus was a young man. He was 30 years old. Amen. Amen. Are we together? Jesus was 30 years old to 33. Jesus was not Moses. He was not Methuselah. He was not like he had beard to the down, you know. Young, fine, attractive man. You understand? Do you, is it, don't you know that some of all those ladies around him were thinking that, it's like, if I can just marry Jesus, I'm settled in life. Or, you know, you think that was not happening around him? It was happening around him. Yeah. Because, you know, they didn't even see him as Messiah. They saw him as, just, okay, this is a powerful prophet. You know, so, this prophet needs to have a wife now. I'm sure maybe Peter, at the point in time, was even talking, who will go set up with Jesus? Because they have to marry. You have to marry. You understand? So, girls liked him. And girls were willing. You know, maybe they'll cook food for him, you know. Oh, Jesus, I just said I should just cook this food for you. You know, now women. So, Jesus had sense. So, he created a system that the disciples were surprised that he was talking to a woman. They were like, So you said you can talk to a woman. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's rise up and close the service. So you have to be active. Okay? You have to be busy. Praise God. Are you happy? Are you happy to be in church? Okay, so you have to be active. Don't be lazy. Eh? Don't be lazy. I'm giving you a tip, so I'm not giving you prayer and Bible. If you don't read your Bible and pray, that one is not your. That one is constant, so that one is there. But I'm giving you some extra things. So you have to be active. Always be active. Sin is caused by idleness. A lot of sin is caused by idleness. A lot of youthful sin is like when you don't know where you are going to. You know, a lot of sin is that they will rope people into, a lot of people become drug addicts just by chance, randomization. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Are we together? And then somebody will just come and say, I have this thing, you go try them now. She go try them. I say, okay, let me just try it. And life of bondage has started. Are we together? A lot of women, if only they did not. If maybe that day they went to church, they would not have met the guy that impregnated them. Praise God. That's how a lot of sin is. It's random chance. It's not really random. It's Satan that has prepared his child for you. But, you know, it's just it's like time and chance, in quotes. So to cut off like 70% of immoral living, to cut it off, be a busy and active person. Always have something you are doing. Have somewhere you are going to. You go from church, you know, like now, me now, the main reason why I'm not maybe cheating on my wife or something is it's not because I'm a strong Christian or something like that, which is what I was explaining. It's not that. It's also not that I love my wife so much that I don't want to hurt her. It's not that. I'm a criminal. You understand? I can say... Well, I feel like this thing. Let me just do this thing. I'll ask God for forgiveness later. Or I'll hide this from my wife. You know, we're all criminals, okay? It's because fundamentally, I have a strict regimen. Church to work to church to house. You know, it's like a triangle. I don't go to more than 5 places. Do you understand? All right? So you say Satan wants to catch me. He has to catch me in church. You understand? You get it, right? That's the reason, you know? I won't just say... Maybe some young people, most of us are young in the office. Maybe some are saying, you know, this Saturday, let's all go and watch Captain America. And I'll say, yes, okay, let's go. So, you know, that's how the thing starts. You understand? Are we together? The life is regimented. Church, house, work. Church, house, work. Church, house, work. So the life is prison. You get? Are we together? It's my own prison. I've created my own prison for myself. Then, I'm now open. You know? My wife, for instance, now my app, you know, my mobile app is on my wife's phone. It's not my phone. This, my phone, does not have my First Bank mobile app. It's on my wife's phone. I said, my wife can ruin me. My wife can send all the money from my account and run away from it. You get it, right? It's not, my phone is not on my app. There are payments. I'll say, hey, you pay, make the payment. I'm used to it. I like it. So I can't, you understand? If my wife has access to my statements, you know, so money can't go to one girlfriend somewhere. You understand? I'll think twice. I'll think like 10 times. I'm like, no. They'll catch me. Are we together? Yeah. Amen. So my money, everything is clear. What I used to spend my money on is clear. Is open. There's no, if 100,000 should start being diverted every month, they will know. You understand? My wife will know. You understand? Are we together? That's transparency. My wife raised my chat. Yes, she can just pick my phone and raise my chat. So I want to know what all these people you are chatting with. Let me just know. And she will just read. Say, hey, this one said this. This one said that. I'll be joking. And you know that kind of thing. You have to, So if there's one girl now that I'm toasting now, I don't know how to do it. I have to think of something extra. You know, I have to think of one elaborate plan. You know, for me to have a girlfriend now, it has to be James Bond. Like, it has to be James Bond. You understand? Like, it can't fit my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? It can't fit my life. It has to be James Bond. Maybe 2 a.m., I'll be inside toilet. I'll be like, I love you. Yeah? That's how it has to be. It can't fit inside my life. You understand? Right? Because from work, I have to get home quickly. You understand my point, right? From work, I have to get home quickly. Children are home. We need to do something. So the whole life is regimented for sin to enter. I have to be the one that will say, I must do this thing. You get, right? So that's the major thing. You want it to be far away from you. And most of us, when God is bringing this thing, we reject it. We think that church is becoming too tough. Huh? Are we together? But no, it is for your own good. Amen. Most people reject this discipline from God. And that's why they don't learn it. But you need to learn it as quick as possible so that your life will be very structured. Then lastly, very simple. Don't listen to Davido. Don't listen to Odumodu Black. Okay? Don't watch movie that they are kissing. In fact, don't even watch too much movie. Okay? But I know that one. Myself, I can't lie. Myself, when I was your age, I watched lots of movies. I know that people will not really hear that one. Who will hear, will hear. Who will not hear, will not hear. I know people watch movies. Just don't watch movie that the kissing is there. And don't fast forward the kissing. You understand? That's nonsense. Any TV show, the moment, if I ask people, if you want to watch a new TV show or something, ask them, me now, from the beginning, ask them, is there kissing in? There's one show now that somebody was talking about in my office. I was thinking about it. I asked them the question, is there kissing in it? Let me know from the beginning that I'm not interested. You understand? Right? Run away from those things. Right? Build the discipline. Are we together? Huh? So, don't worry. If you don't have laptop, you're not missing out. You understand? God is kind to you. You can sleep at night. You know, those of them that have laptop and phone, that are watching movie by force, they're wasting their time. So, just don't listen to Odumodu. Are we together? Those things are infusing sexual energy into you. You get, right? Those songs. Don't deny that they are good. You see, I'm not saying that you should be like, no. I say run away. You understand? So, we know that the song sounds good. I'm not saying the song does not sound good. The song sounds good. That's why it's attracting you. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. So I'm not saying that you deny yourself. You will like it. You get. Because Remember what I said, it's lost. So the thing is calling the lost in you. So you will like it. You get. In fact, you can even, you know, me, even till now, say some of the songs that, you know, I remember them. That's the power of these things. They never go. So you don't want to imprint something in your soul. Are we together? And those songs, those are the frequencies of lust, of fornication, of Yahoo. You know, those are the frequencies. So listen to Christians. You understand? Huh? That's why I thank God. I thank God for the Christian hip-hop people. Even though it might be love song that Jesus is inside, but I still thank God for them. At least that Jesus that I mentioned is still powerful. You understand? It's still better than nothing. So go and listen to Obarigi, you know. Again, go and listen to the others. Okay? At least now things are better now. There's hip-hop. If it's hip-hop you want, there's Christian hip-hop. Or there's Christian songs that have hip-hop flavor. Let me put it that way. So find out. You can ask. Yet I asked, give me artists that are lyrical. Because me, when I was young, I have a strong affinity for hip-hop or rap. That's the pure artistry of rap, meaning the poetry. So I like rap. I like it when a rapper is deep with the lyrics. So, and I've been missing that thing. So one day my flesh was too high. So I texted Obarigia. I said, give me Christian rappers. I said, give me a whole list of them. I said, once in a while I'll listen. You know, whenever I need that lyricism thing. You know what I'm talking about. I don't think you know what I'm talking about. Lyrics. Like when I want to listen to deep, like multi-syllable rhymes, like complex lyrics, that kind of thing. So at least there are Christians that do everything. You know, and I'm thankful to God that we have all those things now. Because when I got born again, that decision to not listen to Christian music, it was like death. Because it's now Domwen. You know, it's only Domwen we had. Domwen, how many of you know Domwen? Okay, no, Domwen is a legend, so you guys know him. So, meaning it's slow music, no hope again. So, that decision to forsake the world is death. You are dying. You have admitted that, oh God, it's only slow music I'm listening to. No more fast. No more fast. So, Domwen, CC, Winans, Juanita Bynum. You know, until some of our African guys now started doing stuff. But at least now you can, you know, there's a wide range. You know, in fact, it's so combined that on, I don't know how many of you have this experience. Maybe you'll be on a playlist, it's Toyosi, but the next song will be one obscure R&B. So you'll be shocked that from Jesus, we're not talking about boyfriend. You'll be like, ah. But the algorithm has combined them because it thinks they're the same type of song, you know. So at least now there's real quality music, so you can avoid multiple genres. So it's easier now. I don't think it's as difficult as when I got saved. It was a big deal because you are really dying, you know. No more fast song. Everything is now. All these bigger. Number. There was no version of this kind of things. It's pure Domwen. Pure, oh Lord, I worship you. You know, that's the only thing. But the funny thing is that eventually get used to it. You know, so eventually get used to it. So music, your TV, what you are watching, then social media, obviously. You know, so with social media. Restrict your social media, please. I beg you. Okay? Restrict your social media and be violent with your purging of your feed. Purge your feed. Are we together? Because you see, the feed is ultimately, the feed is agnostic. What I mean by that is not born again, it's not immoral. It's giving you what you want. Are we together? So if you're violent with your feed, you won't see some things. So purge your feed. You get, be active about it, right? Support your feed, block everybody. You must have people that you have blocked. You get, if not, social media would be a very disastrous thing for you. Your mind will go, you lose your mind. So block people. Till today, even on YouTube, I block people. On YouTube, I block. Once I see one stupid video, I'll just block. I say, don't recommend from this channel again. I say, don't recommend from this channel. I block. I'm consistently blocking. And for ladies, don't get involved in gossip. Okay? So, it's still part of how you spend your time. Don't get involved in gossip. So, don't gossip. Gossip is a major demonic attack. So, don't get involved in gossip. Don't talk about anybody. I know for ladies it's tough. But even though men gossip too, but it's more of a lady thing. But don't just know that you will not talk about anybody. You understand? You will not go to, when you meet, don't meet and say, ah, all these boys in church. You see, you know that boy, what that did? Hey, brah, 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 ah, Pastor Kennedy, brah, 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 brah. It's demons you're just attracting to yourself. Amen.